Right.
Not water, that's right. I need
taste test.
It's much better than earlier.
Yeah, that's definitely not water.
Still much better than earlier.
Delicious. We'll use a thing.
Oh, yeah. Episode 3. Career expectations. Take.
Definitely not the careers our parents wanted us to take.
Definitely not the career they had in mind when we're doing this. With that said. So, hi, I'm Mark. I'm the on-paper unemployed one.
Hi, I'm Simon. Employed. Definitely employed. Been happily working in the tech industry for about 5 years now. But, today's topic is about that, right? It's about careers and kind of what were the expectations that we had to deal with growing up. And a lot of us, whether you're Filipino, Asian in general, just growing up, there were expectations, and a lot of that generational expectations were really brought onto us, right? Of course, what are the three careers right off top of your head that we're always expected to be a part of?
I have four.
Okay, well, four is fine.
Okay. Okay, so Dr. Obs, right? Doctor, obviously. Nurse, lawyer, and I want to say engineer.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
So three right off the
bat. Dentist.
Okay, we'll count that. We'll count that towards medical, but you know, some people might find that to be very controversial. Dental's not medical. Shut
that's
up.
That's a whole other thing.
Let them worry about that. Yeah.
Put that in the comments.
Fight in the comments. We won't read them.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. The three things were mainly doctors, nurses, engineers, right?
Why is that though?
That's the thing, right? A lot of people ask us, like, why is it always doctors and engineers?
Yeah.
Or nurses, which Filipino is very prominent in, right? It's like, okay, yeah, my wife's a nurse. It's a coincidence.
Right.
But it wasn't her main career choice, as a matter of fact.
Right? Really?
Yeah, it really
was. I didn't know that.
So, you know, I mean, things change and things move, and there's reasons why we choose the careers that we do, but I think what we wanted to dive into was, why do our parents only want us to be doctors, lawyers, engineers, architects, etc.?
But also, a lot of our relatives are like that, not just onto their own kids, but projecting those ideas to, you know, like to their nieces and nephews.
Yes, absolutely. And really what it boils down to was back in the 70s, 80s, and a bit of the 90s, they called it the brain drain, you know, Philippine brain drain, where a lot of these scholars, a lot of these high-end occupations were coming out of the Philippines and move abroad to help their families, right? And that was a big deal in the 70s and 80s. Like, our dad did that, right? Like, you know, he was studying to be an accountant. He did all this other stuff. Mom was in business administration and finance. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Those were the big careers that were being, that were actually in demand in other countries. Now, the thing is, I learned doing all this research about it to kind of find out what the root of all this is.
Yeah.
Is that when it comes down to those occupations, there's a lot of different places. And a lot of people think that they almost all of them went to the States.
Oh, yeah.
That's not the case. And I remember Dad talking about relatives in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And Eileen's family. She has family in the UK. Right. She has family in Japan. The United States wasn't even in the top five of those countries, really.
Really?
And because Saudi and all those other countries are much closer.
Yeah. Mm, oh,
right?
Yeah,
and so, you know, fortunately for us, not only did our parents go from the Philippines to the United States, they went to Los Angeles. That's
the
crazy.
Farthest point in this country.
And one of the most expensive places to live. So why were they so hard on us about it, right?
Yeah, why were they so adamant about you have to be this, right?
The TV is going to turn off.
What? No signal. Power will be... What do you mean there's no signal?
Signal from your iPad? Sorry, technical difficulties. So our parents did that, right? Our parents went a really long way from home, leaving their friends, leaving their family. I think it brings it to perspective later on as to, you know, why did they always choose those particular careers? Mm. Well, it's because that's what was in demand at the time, right? Where it made a lot of money, and that's all that it mattered. Because then it wasn't about how happy you are, right?
It's about surviving.
It's about surviving. Yeah, it's about surviving. They're constantly survivable, not just bringing themselves over to the States, but bringing their families, aunties, uncles, raising a family over there. And think about this. They didn't know anybody, or very few people, or just fellow Filipinos. And
think about that. Like, what? Like, for us, they were, what, late 20s, maybe?
Yeah.
Like, imagine in your late 20s, literally uprooting your entire life to go to a completely foreign country. You don't know anyone, and you start from literally zero.
Yeah.
That's wild.
That is absolutely wild.
That is wild. I can't even imagine having to do that.
And that's why I wanted to talk about this. It's like, we always wonder, we see it on TikTok all the time.
Yeah.
How come you're not a nurse? How come you're not this? How come you're not that?
Yeah.
And we wonder, why is it those specific particular types of occupations? I'm sure a lot of you wondered about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we joke about it all the time, right? Jokoi says it all the time. It's like, wow, when he has a show, all the nurses are gone.
Yeah. Right? There's no healthcare anywhere.
Exactly. But I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah.
And I kind of brought it over with Mark. He's like, hey, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Because he and I have very different career paths, very different educational paths. And growing up, it was very difficult living up to those expectations and knowing the paths that we've taken now in our careers in the traditional Filipino way. Back in the 80s and 90s, man, we're not talking about today. Yeah. We would have been shunned. Absolutely shunned.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
But I'm grateful today. I mean, I'm also grateful our parents were very supportive. But, you know, and kind of to go on the other side of those three occupations, what was one of the worst things that you can possibly do as a young Filipino growing up in the 80s and 90s? What careers do you think of as a never do that, or else you'd be a complete failure, never make money?
Oh, anything performance.
Performance.
Anything
arts,
like that. Yeah,
athletics.
Like athletics.
So, you know.
It's not a stable career. It's not, you know, even if you're really good, it's not a stable career.
Yeah.
Because no matter what, you have to have your education to fall back on.
Right. But it was a hyper focus.
Yeah.
Right. So back in the day for us, my parents had a hard time accepting the fact that we wanted to play sports, that we wanted to be creative. And because they felt it didn't lead towards that career path, right? Oh, you're not going to make enough money. You're not going to make enough money. But like,
there was no certainty there.
There was no.
They knew for sure that like doctors, nurses, lawyers, et cetera, they knew that that it's lucrative. However, I don't think it was lost on that generation for the most part that it's not for everybody.
No. But, you know, and also back then, you know, companies were enticing people like our parents to work for them because they were going to take care of them with benefits, pensions.
There's a whole thing on immigration, especially based on like...
Well, not just immigration, but even just people in general in the 80s and 90s. They needed those jobs and they needed to entice them. Whereas today, okay, I get my medical insurance through my work and all that stuff. But, you know, lo and behold, big surprise, capitalism is not going to take care of you, right? I'm good at what I do. I'm very good at what I do in the job that I perform, the company that I work for. But I know if I died today, they will replace me tomorrow. Simple as that. Will they be as good as me? No, they
don't. To be fair, you don't even have to die for them to replace you.
Because
speaking from experience, let me just tell you, corporate loyalty don't mean shit.
No, that's very true.
I can't say that for everyone, but for me, that don't mean shit.
Yeah, but we'll cover that later. Yeah. So back to the idea of our parents gaining that kind of thought process, which kind of permeates into our upbringing, right? Like we explained earlier, okay, well, we can't do sports, we can't do this. It's just the education, right? But okay, yeah, I'm book smart, but I have no other skills.
Right.
I'm a big soft skills. I have a big thing about my kids joining sports, right? Because it's fun, whatever. But it teaches people at a young age how to deal with adversity. Whether it's your own self-adversity, team-oriented adversity, dealing with leadership adversity, and just being in the moment. Right?
Processing failure.
Yes, and that's a big deal. And luckily, we ended up playing baseball as a kid, right? And it did teach us that, and of course, brought a love for baseball. But that was a big deal, though. A lot of my Asian friends, it's like, oh, I didn't do that. I did piano. I did violin. I did this and that, which is great, which is fine.
Something we couldn't do.
Yeah, that's why we sing. But then again, it's a whole other Filipino thing to talk
about.
That's
a whole other paid tier, guys.
That's a touche. But it was always a constant battle because I want to be creative. No, you can't be creative because it doesn't make you money, right? Because as you said earlier, aunties would talk about you, right? Aunties would talk about your career choices, what job you're working in, how much money you have, but they never once asked if you're happy. But it all stems from what happened to them as they immigrated to the States.
Yeah, right? That's what they knew. That's what they experienced.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, it made it so much harder for us to convince. Now, of course, my kids, they have a lot more access to the information. They have more, they have a higher likelihood of joining things that are sports and creative. Both my sons are very creative at what they do.
Yeah, they have way more options now.
Yeah.
Than even options we didn't even think were possible.
But not just that, we're allowing them to take those options.
That's true.
Right? As long as it makes them happy. But at the same time, there's a bit of that mentality that our parents gave us that I kind of still hold dear. Like maybe just to be safe, right? In my plane of life, I'm raising a family right now. You're not.
No.
You know, you don't have tuition. You don't have to worry about kids not dying and stuff like that. You know, and that's fine. That's a different plane of life as you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have to think things in that perspective.
Right.
So that way I'll take the more conservative route. You have the ability to take more risks.
I kind of, right now I have, that's kind of the boat I'm currently building. Not even in, but I have to build it because, you know, like I've done the whole corporate thing so many times and it's unfortunate because this last job, I loved it. I was great at what I did. I was getting paid pretty well and just out of nowhere, like, out, you're fired.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to talk shit, I'm going to stir the pot. Let's just... They could fire you for any reason or no reason at all. Like, they fired me during my review. Never showed me my review. There was never a write-up. There was never a warning. There wasn't any corrective action. Nor was there any statement of any dissatisfaction. So, like I said earlier, corporate loyalty don't mean...
Yeah, well, see, they're taking advantage of the at-will employment status, law here, right? So, you know, for those of you who don't know, it's basically an employer can terminate the relationship between employee and employer for no reason. So long as,
as it's not discriminatory.
Correct.
Unless
it's, it can't be unlawful.
Yeah.
But it has,
they cited it as underperforming, but they had no proof. But that's what's on record.
And technically, they didn't need that proof.
And that's what's... That's
they can
what's
just
the mess,
say
that's the messed up part.
That's the messed up. It is a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I do orientations for my work sometimes where I kind of talk about this particular concept, right? As Mark mentioned, a company can just be like, see you later, goodbye. But us as employees can be like, you know what? Screw this. I'm out of here. I've done that.
Yeah.
And I've done that. I had a job that I hated, but I knew I had another job lined up.
Yeah.
And in the interim, between the job that I'm leaving and the job that I was going to go into, which is my current place, I had a trip to Japan. I was like, you know what? Screw this. I'm leaving. I wrote an email. I wasn't rude or anything. I go, you know what? I'm writing this email to you to explain that I'm resigning from the company. I left my card key. Please send my last check to my house. Boom. I left and I never came back.
That is the dream. That is the nicest way of saying, fuck y'all, I'm out.
I'm done.
I'm going to Japan.
I'm going to Japan. I'm going to get back and have a job lined up for me. And you know what?
But that's the route you have to take. Yeah.
And it's just, was I happy? Hell no. Hell no. I wasn't happy there.
Yeah.
Right? But again, it was in my perspective. I had to do that.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of the same thing as what our parents did, like to go ahead and survival mode and do all that. Right.
Yeah.
But like, you know, there are some of our peers and family who have taken those routes and they absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Right, I have Eileen's cousin. He's one of my favorite doctors ever. He's the coolest guy ever.
Cool. He's super cool.
Our sister's friend. He's a doctor. I love hearing his stories. Yeah. You know, stuff like that. And that's great. I applaud that. I admire that to really take upon themselves, not because it's their parents' dream, but it's like, hey, you know, I want to be this. I'm gonna be good at that.
I can do it.
And they take the time to do it. So you know, hats off to my medical professional friends and family. Because I can't handle that shit. That's why I work in software. It's amazing. I love the conversations that we have because that just solidifies the fact I don't belong in the medical industry.
Right. No, I can. Me and blood and weird stuff.
Yeah.
I just can't. Like, I have so much respect for people who are in healthcare and in medical because that is a true skill.
Yeah.
It is a true skill. But on top of that, like, the people in the medical field that I know are either it's either they really love it or they totally hate it. And on the flip side, when they hate it, it's because you know I've known them long enough. Their parents literally made them do it. I was like, yo, you're like 20 something. You don't have to do what your parents are forcing you to do as an adult. Like, we don't have to people please. We don't have to do any of that. But I get it. Like, if you are now knee deep in this and this person is still hating it, but
yeah, no,
there's nothing I can do about that.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And it's just, we've come to the point where we understand, as Filipino and even Asian culture in general, it very guilt driven.
Oh,
super guilt driven, and that carries into adulthood, and that is not good.
No,
not good at all.
It permeates.
Hang on, every... fix your mic. It's going to G. So, you know, as you were saying, right? People will pursue that because they want to make their parents proud, which is a noble reason,
right?
But at what cost?
Right.
Right. So Mark, you told me about a friend of yours that did that.
Yeah, that's
that.
Who I was talking about. I don't want to mention names.
No, you don't have to mention names, but like, long story short, what did that person do? And what? Where are they now? How do they feel about their current situation?
Honestly, I don't know. I haven't talked to this person in a while now. But last I heard, this person hated it. But now, you know, they're parents now, so I guess maybe there's a different perspective. But I just remember this person's like, I'm just doing this because my mom's making me do it. And da-da-da. I was like, but you're like 25. Why?
Yeah.
You know? But I get it. Like, relationships are different. But I was like, then don't do it.
Yeah.
I just told him, don't do it.
So some career advice for those of you who are currently pursuing a career. Don't base it off your parents' wishes. Unless your desires line up with their parents' wishes.
Right. They shouldn't be projecting their dreams and achievements to you, because there's a whole other plethora of ways to succeed.
Yeah, and that's a tough thing to shake, though, because when we were kids, I'll never forget, like, mom was sitting us down to the backseat of a car, clicking the seatbelt. He's like, oh, you're going to be a doctor one day so you can drive mom and dad around when you're older.
Yeah.
And of course, we're kids. You're like 3-4 years old. Like, sure. Oh, yeah, we'll do anything for you, mom. And,
yeah.
But that's the seed that they continue to plant. Right?
Yeah.
You know, was it good or bad? No, but it's just still that little thing that stays in the back of your mind as a child, right? And it sticks to your inner child, too.
Yeah.
Oh, where you want to be proud. You want your parents to be proud of you. And
as a kid, that becomes your, I guess, dream in a sense.
Correct.
For you to achieve so they can be happy and proud of you, when really it should be you that's doing this for you, you know?
And you realize that when you do pursue it, it's at your own expense.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah.
So let's kind of talk about kind of where we are. How do we get to where we are? So for me, my educational background is very different than yours, right? Yours is much more traditional. You went through, you know, got out of CSUN and stuff like that. Mm. I did more of kind of like the trade school, more community stuff. And I didn't end up being in the career that I was supposed to be studying for. So, you know, how did we get there, right? So we'll start with you. Like, you know, what was your struggle like after you finished CSUN? What were things like for you?
You know, it's funny because honestly, I'm going to preface it by saying this. It took me 8 years on and off to finish college. And don't rush it. Don't drag yourself to the mud just to finish in 4 years. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, some people don't even finish college. Let's be real. You know? Well, technically you did.
Yeah, technically. But technically. That's the thing. Technically, right?
At CSUN, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I never changed my major. I never deviated from it. And I even got a job in my field right after school. So it was good. I started in affiliate marketing, which most people, affiliate marketing, but it was called a different term back then. It was email affiliate marketing, which was also known from another thing.
Let me guess. That's spam shit.
Yeah. Exactly what it was. We were making
email.
Hey, first of all, I was just designing the spam. I didn't have your emails. I didn't do it. I just made
you were
it
designing for email.
Insert money rain here.
You're the reason why I have filters on.
No,
you're what's wrong with the world today. No.
See, we're the reason why email got better.
Oh,
email
yeah.
filters got better. We're you know, the reason why.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, fine. But still, fuck that old job.
No, but I got to pursue stuff in a creative format, so that was really cool. But
sure.
You know, yeah, the company dissolved and. You know, I resorted to things like going to retail management. So I even did
I worked my way up from like Pacific Sunwear to Marni, which is like
super high end stuff.
That's super high end stuff. Yeah.
Look it up; it's really awesome. A lot of celebs go there.
Yeah, absolutely, and it was fun. But I also found out that maybe fashion wasn't for me. It wasn't the right path for me. It was fun. Don't get me wrong.
It was more of a passion than a career.
Yeah, and also it was kind of it's kind of cool to have a few suits that are worth more than most people's mortgage payments. But also, I don't live a life that needs that.
No. Like, okay, well, before we move forward, let me go my perspective.
Yeah.
Right? For me, my college was very different. I didn't finish early on, right? I didn't do anything traditional. I went to a lot of trade schools. I was actually studying to do things in automotive.
Oh, yeah, that's
that
right.
That didn't work out, right? So long story short, had a kid very young. And so I had to look for a job. Right? And luckily, my first job was actually selling cars. And believe me, that I could write a book on some of the things that we go through on a daily. So those who sell cars, more power to you. It's a very difficult job, very stressful job, but it can be a lot of fun depending on where you are
and who you're with.
But what was important is that I gained a mentor there. And I think that's what a lot of our parents don't understand, right? It was just education equals job and the company takes care of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case here, right?
Yeah, because not anymore.
No, there's different options. So for me, when I started dealing with sales, you know, I actually got fired from the retail sales floor. But the same day, the internet salespeople were, actually, internet sales guy, he was only one. This was before you could buy cars online. So he had this idea, it's like, hey, we can use emails, you can do this and that, go to forums, talk to people. And so he signed me on, right? But I wasn't doing commission. He paid me hourly. And the catch was that I would be his assistant and I would learn from him. Of course I'm going to say, I needed a job. Of course I'm going to say yes. Yeah. And I knew everyone. I was really cool with everybody. It was nothing personal. I get it. It's a business. So, you know, a few years go by and I start learning how to talk to people, how to understand people that are lying to you and how to negotiate with people, how to navigate what and be an active listener, right? Those soft skills that are a lot more important than people realize that you don't really learn in school.
No.
You don't. And that's where our parents kind of fell short because they just thought, I work, I put my head down, get out, and get paid.
Provide, survive, and go.
Had nothing to do with personal growth.
Right.
Because you can implement what you're learning in your job into your personal life. But granted, I love to separate my job versus my life.
Absolutely.
Because I made that mistake before, and I'll talk about it a little bit later. But, you know, it was just those skills that you learn outside of the classroom.
Yeah.
Right? And that's how my career path grown. And then I ended up going after car sales. I ended up going to other random jobs just to make sure. And I ultimately landed, and a lot of you know me, I ultimately landed working for, I don't know if you know this company, Google.
Who?
No. So I was originally supposed to be part of the Google Glass project, which we all know did spectacular.
That aged well.
That totally aged well. But luckily, before it dissolved, you know, they still said, hey, we want you to go on another project. So I ended up doing the Google Express project. Right?
The
Google Express project, I got to implement everything that I learned here and still got to be creative because then I was, Mark and I were doing videos for weddings and debuts and loved doing video editing, he was teaching me photography and it became this thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so we would do that on the side and I actually got to use those skills while I was working in Google for Google Express. Right. So I did the training videos, went nationwide to all the other teams. I'm very proud of that. And I learned a lot of, as to how to manage teams, how to train teams. Long story short, I went from an internet order processor, you know, the guys like in Amazon who get the boxes and put it into the car, to the guy, to a regional operations trainer for the whole LA region, right? And that took a lot of work.
Yeah.
So that's where my mistake came in, where I put in so much of myself in my work that I was being overworked and underpaid, right? So
that is literally now the current American dream.
Yeah, and so I was taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Right? And did they meet it? I don't know. And it's fine. I get it. You know, that was kind of the way it worked. And I was so into the mentality of I got to be the very best, like no one ever was. But
I cannot believe you slipped it in just like that.
I had to. But again, I learned from that, right? And now it brought me to where I am today. So ironically though, I'm an engineer. I'm a sales engineer.
Mm.
So it's a fancy way of saying I'm a product demonstrator. I talk to business owners about why they suck at running their business and we have the tools to make it better. And I love what I do. I love helping people. Yeah.
You're great at it.
And I love talking to these business owners who are, ironically enough,
architects, engineers, lawyers, accountants. Right? So I guess I fulfilled the dream kind of in this.
Yeah, and it's strange. I went through like the back roundabout. Window, yeah.
You know, or I dug cut a hole in the roof.
You climbed in the shipping area.
Right? But, you know, but it's funny because through all of it, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off on your career path here.
No, it's fine.
But in the end, mom and dad were still proud.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I mean, yeah, it's validating and it's like, oh, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, but we're also lucky to have the parents we have.
Right.
Not all parents are going to think like that.
Because all my parents do is like, my son works for Google. I'm just going to blab it out to the world and stuff like that. That's awesome. Right? So that's the light side of it. The dark side is the auntie saying, you know, your uncle over there, your cousin over there is this
and
that.
Oh, yeah,
so,
comparison. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, back to you where you were. So after all that, right? After that evil company that you worked for, what happened
then? No, I told you. I was in fashion.
Oh, yeah, you were in fashion. Okay, after fashion.
That was super fun. But I decided to step away from it. It just wasn't fulfilling anymore. It's like, yeah, the fancy parties, the celebrities, the red carpets, all the Hollywood glam stuff. It sounds fun, but I discovered it's not for me. It's fun. Like, it was totally something I would totally do again if I could, but I would do it differently. You know, I wouldn't be so uptight. I wouldn't, you know, but that's a whole other world. But,
yeah.
But I went back into being a freelance creative, and I was like going back to what I wanted to do. But I'm going to fast forward a little bit. Like, I went back to corporate, which I ended up getting fired. But I always end up back in the same spot. Like, oh, this job's cool, whatever. But 2-3 years later, either it just doesn't work, or, you know, pandemic, or they just randomly fire you. I come back to this spot of being an independent artist again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so look out for what I'm going to be doing coming soon. I have some things lined up because I'm honestly, I'm so tired of making rich people rich with a skill they don't possess.
Yeah.
Because what I'm finding out in my career, if you're creative, you might find this to be true, and I hope you don't. But for me, as a creative, they seem to think like I just sit in my office and have a coloring book all day, you know? And it's like, like,
my name is Simon. I like to make drawings.
Hi, my name is
Only Simon. Half of that is right about me. My name is Simon. I don't like to make drawings.
But that's what I like to make drawings.
Yeah.
I'll give you the reference. But, that's what people seem to think. It's they seem to cheapen my skill. But then when you got to do a PowerPoint presentation, or you got to do some social media, or you got to do some internal marketing, who do you turn to? Yeah. You don't turn to Microsoft Word clip art.
What? That's so amazing. Clippy? Shout out to the homie
Shout
Clippy.
Shout out to Clippy.
Shout out to Clippy.
I'm going to have him pop up.
Yeah, please do.
Shout out to Clippy. But it's just one of those things, like, if you're creative and you're struggling, don't think that it's not valuable work. Because,
sure, yeah.
You know, I was mentoring artists. I was mentoring photographers. I mentored, you know, like when we were doing youth ministry, I was mentoring young people with ambitions of being artistic. And now some of them are doing big things, you know, and which kind of puts me in a weird position, because it's like, okay, well, I'm able to mentor them into greatness. But then for me to go in out there and put my creative skills into corporate land only to be told that they can find someone cheaper, younger to do it. But also, it's one of those things, you just get what you pay for.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm sure.
Sell yourself short, yes. Artists. Don't do it. Don't do it.
And I'm sure a lot of creatives have been through there, right? Where it's like, when you talk to a client, it goes, just make it pop.
Honestly, I think the biggest thing I've learned, especially as a creative person, do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
You know, and so with this thing I'm building, it's really a way for me to express my inner child and to kind of let him be the boss a little bit.
A little mark thing.
Right. Like the little Haribo. I like the strawberry one. You know, that's how I see it. Because it's got to be fun, you know? And
you got to make it yours.
Yeah, I got to make it mine and authentic and genuine. And I want it to reach out to people. So again, I am so tired of making rich people rich with my skills that they don't value and they don't possess.
But here's where we differ then, right? Only because, again, we're living
right. You have a different situation going on.
Yeah, right.
On.
So I'm okay with that, because if it means you know, I could take it, I can risk it all and build my own business, but I run the risk of not being able to take care of my family. Again, that's kind of that's kind of driven off of my upbringing with, you know, with mom and dad, right? So that safety is more important than that pursuit.
Right.
You don't have that.
Right.
Right. Because, you know, that's your life path.
Yeah.
So you can run that risk. You can lose on that and still survive. I can't. So, no, I'm glad you bring that up, because it's like, yeah, that's good advice. Do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
But for those of you who have to take care of other things that are not your life, like me, you know, to deal with family, to be able to contribute between my wife and I to pay for this, all this. Yeah. Okay. I have a tech problem, but
tech enthusiasm.
Okay. Tech enthusiasm. And car enthusiasm and sports enthusiasm
and travel, video game enthusiasm
and travel enthusiasm, which I still have to finish some of those blogs, but you know what? Side story. It's been a crazy month, so I'm just glad we're able to.
I know we haven't. I've had my head down building stuff too, and so it's cool. I'm just glad we got able to get back together and kind of do this again. So,
So let's bring this full circle, right? It's just our career paths as a Filipino American.
Yes.
And a lot of us here who were born here, well, we weren't born here, but we grew up here, and they took on the mentality, took on the ideas of doing what makes you happy.
Yeah.
Continue to pursue that. Right. Now, for those of you who need to go ahead and survive, that's what I take into account. Because let's put it this way, mom and dad had to survive. Right.
Right.
Think about those, especially those of you who had parents that were not born here, and they're so hard up on their Asian Filipino ways or any other culture that you can think of. You have to understand that your parents left everything. And I do mean everything, to risk it all. Kind of like what you're doing right now. You're risking it all.
Yeah.
To pursue something better.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar, doesn't it? You've probably been told this as you grew up. I came to this country
to give you a better life.
Exactly.
Right.
And did they succeed in that? A lot of them did. There's a lot of things that we could not have done if we stayed in the Philippines, right?
Yeah. Because, like, listen, I think in a way for me to pursue my entrepreneurship goals is the goal, right? That's the ancestor's dream. You know, and I think that's the essence of what mom and dad really wanted to provide, right? For me to have the option to be like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to grow this into something big.
Because we can.
Because we can.
Because we were given the opportunity from our parents.
Yeah.
And no, guilt drive aside,
yeah,
they really did give us that opportunity.
Yeah.
Absolutely 100%. And I'm grateful for that. And mom, dad, if you're watching, thank you. We did okay.
We're still alive. You're doing great.
We're not in jail anymore.
Right?
Just kidding, we never were.
Strike that from the record.
Good thing we can edit. But no, I mean, I think that's one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to talk about this is to realize where our parents came from and even just try to imagine what they had to go through while being in a country that maybe didn't even want them here in the first place.
Yeah.
And still don't want us here, right?
Yeah, just, I mean, like the immigrant experience, like, we grew up here, but we've really, even as kids, we've experienced discrimination, like even up to now, like
whether it's as a kid, whether somebody was an adult in the work that you do, it's things like that.
And I guarantee, like, not just our parents, but maybe a lot of our parents who are immigrants have faced all that and kept it quiet to protect us, to, you know what I mean, or they just internalize it and they just focus on what really matters.
I like you said, I can't imagine what happened behind the scenes there.
Yeah. Right?
What were the struggles that our parents will probably never tell us about?
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
That's where I want them to be proud of us stems from, right? Because it's not a guilt-driven kind of concept anymore, especially as an adult, where we want them to be proud because we want to make it seem worthwhile that they risked it all and paid off.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
I think for me, that's like such a motivation too. That's such a big motivator for me to really thrive in what I'm trying to do. I mean, I already know they're proud of me, and like they've been really supportive and helping me through everything. So it's like one of those things like, okay, well, I want to make it worth it for them for sure. But I mean, I'm sure it already is, but.
But also, I think in the back of their mind, it's like, I want my son to be safe. I want my son to be secure. I know they're scared that you're risking it.
Yeah.
You're risking everything at this point in time in your career. And that's completely valid.
Listen, there's something, I think it's such a compelling story for someone like who's 40, has completely started over. Had everything taken away. I lost my job. I lost my apartment, you know, but I still have the things that matter. I still have my family. I still have my boyfriend. I
love James, by the way. I freaking love that guy so much.
I know. That's why I can't fuck this up. But it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, I have to, it's not about me anymore, you know? And a lot of people have told me, you know, Mark, it's about time that I did my own thing, because I have such a passion for kind of storytelling and putting and connecting people through that. And so it's not too late. You know, it's not too late to start over, no matter what your career is. And whether you're doing it for survival or for your happiness, you're still going to be successful if you can manage to find the joy in everything you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. So like whatever career path you decide to take, or wherever you've been, not forced to take, but whatever situation you have found yourself in, find the joy in it, you know, and it's okay. Like, maybe you hate going to work, but you love the fruits of your labor that you can take your family on a vacation. Because to me, I think that's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, it's worth the work.
That's where I'm at, right? That's where Eileen is at. Yeah. You know, my wife, she didn't, like I said, nursing wasn't her number one thing.
Which was wild to me. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I had no idea. That's interesting.
But to your point, right? She does it so she can provide not just for the family, but now she's providing for the business that she's creating and she's currently going through.
So awesome, by the way.
So gonna put shameless plug. She does IV therapies. DM me.
Oh, so worth it.
We will actually talk about that in another podcast.
Yeah. We're planning some stuff with that, but let me tell you, worth it.
Yes.
If you can hit me up too, I'll put our social media down on here again. And you can hit us up and ask us all about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think before we go, you know, I want to kind of look at what you were saying, but in my perspective, right?
Please do.
It's like, I admire people like you and what my wife is doing to build their own business. I'm freaking 40. Of course, you know, we're twins.
You're 40 and 1 minute.
Damn right. Okay, I'm a little older. I'm a little older. I got here first. But
no, I let you out first.
Get out!
Not everyone can be a princess, right? Somebody's got to be able to wave.
I guess.
Now wave to your...
Blow them kisses!
Now march!
Hey, Simpsons reference in the podcast. So, where was I going with this? Well, yeah, no, so at my age, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. Right, you have that drive to, I want to build that business. Mm. So does my wife. So what can I do about that? Right, I'm sure there's a lot of men and women who have their significant others who are pursuing a business, and you don't know how to support them. Do what I do. Just what skills do you have that can help?
Absolutely.
Because
that's worth
I want to
more than anything.
Absolutely, I want to support your business and her business. So what do? I go in there, my time off. I do the books. Dad, I'm sorry, I'm not as good an accountant as you. But I'm trying my best.
I hate doing my own books right now, let me tell you. But it's also strangely deeply satisfying because I can figure things out. And if you're looking to do any kind of entrepreneurship, hit me up. I'm still early on my journey, but far along enough to kind of like make you feel like you're not alone.
Yeah.
You know, and that's thankfully Eileen has been really great to lean on because she's been giving me great advice or great insight because Eileen has started before me, and so I would ask her questions, and she was always so insightful. So that mentorship really does matter. And so again, like if you have any questions, like hit me up, let's chat.
Or hell, if you have advice, hit us up.
Yeah, I would love
you
that.
Know, we'd love to learn. Love from you. And like I said, I don't know if I always thought about it when you and Eileen started building your businesses. I would think like, what would I do? Like, I don't know. I mean, but how can I support you guys? And to me, that's satisfying already.
Yeah.
Right. Where I want. I can, I support my wife. I'm a client. Like, no, I want to be able to really contribute to that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I guess it's just your duties as a husband, just to be that guy and not just be a part of it. Because I, one thing that I learned from people like you and her, as you guys are interacting with your clients, the way you speak to them, that hit home for me. And I just thought, to hear someone who's pursuing something that they're passionate about and building something on that. And I heard all this while I was doing her books, and I just overhear the conversations, and I'm just like, damn, I'm proud of this woman. This is so freaking cool that she's genuinely helping people, doing something that she loves, and making money on the side to do it.
Yeah.
While at the same time, she's still being a freaking nurse.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
She's killing it, by the way. She is. Like, I really appreciate what she does. Yeah. Like, but on top of that, I appreciate her insight into helping me grow my stuff, too. Because it is not easy. But let me tell you, it is worth it.
Yeah.
It's so worth it. Because
our parents never taught us this.
Yeah, because you know what? Like, I want to encourage everyone to just go do it. Whether you're doing it for survival or whatever, it's better than sitting on your ass and doing nothing about it.
Yeah. And really, for me, on the other side of that coin, I don't know what I want to build, right? I mean, sure, I've been doing streaming. I've been off that for a little bit because just life is happening. But just try things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So, and I learned this, like, I hate to say fairly recently, or relearned it fairly recently, that the first step to really achieving your goal is improving yourself.
Yeah.
Right? And being mindful of yourself, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
Right? Because that helps you personally, helps you in your career, helps you in your relationships too.
Your career doesn't define you. It doesn't define you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It does. If having a job as a means to provide is quite noble already.
Which is what I have to go
Whatever through. It is you do it with self-respect and dignity.
Yeah.
And whether you're selling feet pics, whether you're selling you know, cars, or whether you're mentoring people, whatever it is, do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just go for it. You know, don't.
And also, it's okay to fail. People are so scared.
That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing, right? That's part of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't be afraid to fail, because those are the most valuable things. Is failure, because you know what? Like, yeah, we'll get 1,000 no's, but the one yes you get outweighs them all.
Yeah, but you'll succeed in the end.
Yeah.
If you keep going, because a lot of people just stop. Right?
Yeah.
Or even worse, like me, like for a long time I was just complacent with my
life, yeah,
which means
poison.
I was complacent with my life, which I was complacent in my relationships,
right.
And it all kind of stems from here.
Yeah.
Right. You do good for yourself. You feel good. You continue to build. That's really what it boils down to. Not just what did our parents provide for us, but what can we do about it? Because it's easy for us to say, fulfill your dreams, follow your dreams, hooray!
Right.
But how do you do that? What's
right.
the first step? The first step is you. So I hope you guys learned something from here today. This
and
was
a few final takeaways. So
yeah, go ahead.
Don't compare yourself to anyone. And if you are comparing your kid to someone else, stop it.
Yeah.
Because
it's not
helpful.
Healthy.
It's not helpful. It's not right. Because let them be on their own path and guide and support. That's
awesome.
All it is. No matter if it's survival or for fulfillment or both or whatever, just be supportive.
You may not always agree with it, but still be supportive.
Right, right. And also, like I said, like for me, I always say this. If it makes you happy, it shouldn't have to make sense to anybody else.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
But with that said,
thank you so much again for just tuning in with us. We enjoy doing these. This was kind of the whole idea of the podcast was kind of doing things outside of what our careers are.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When, as you know, if you know us personally, you know we like to put on a show. We like to talk.
Yeah, we love to storytell. We love to connect through that. So, how do you feel about your job? How do you feel about
what do you wish that you did?
Yeah. What could you have done before?
Yeah. It's okay to think about that, even though you're pretty set in your career.
Yeah.
And what are you really passionate about? And would you make a business out of it? Tell us. You know, we love these conversations, and you know, we want to bring some perspective to what it was like for people like us, our age growing up, who had immigrant parents that would only stick to that one set of careers.
Yeah.
So until next time, take care of yourself, improve yourself. Don't stop trying. The moment you stop trying is the moment you continue to fail.
Exactly. Right? Fail forward.
Fail forward. I
love that. That's my favorite thing. Fail forward.
Should we call that? Should that be the title?
No, because I think the failure would be like failure and.
You could have just said no and just got on.
No. Well, that's a whole other subject.
All right. Until next time, everyone. This has been Simon. This has been Mark.
And this has been Twin Appropriate
Behavior. Thanks for watching, guys. We'll see you in the next one.